Good morning and welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. A special welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us from home. We're glad you're joining in our worship today. As we prepare our hearts for worship, let us confess our sins before God, who is faithful and just, and who promises to cleanse us from all our sin and all unrighteousness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a moment for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of creation, eternal majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength, pilot us. By your power, preserve us. By your wisdom, instruct us. And by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from the book of Job, chapter 38. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garments, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come, and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stopped. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. As we work together with him, we agree you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and see. We are alive, as punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
I invite all who are able to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to know what the disciples wanted to know. Who then is this? Who then is this? After their near brush with death, they ask themselves, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Good question. Who then is this? But what I really want to know is, who then is this that can sleep so peacefully while storms are raging all around? I want to know how Jesus can blissfully be asleep in the midst of such chaos. How can Jesus sleep in a boat while waves are crashing in all around him? How can he be so blissfully asleep during an ordeal such that even experienced fishermen were afraid for their lives? And just to be clear, we're not talking about a cruise liner heading north for an Alaskan adventure, or even a 110-foot fishing vessel. No, thanks to a rather happenstance discovery on the Sea of Galilee back in 1986, archaeologists have been able to restore a boat that they date to back to the first century, the time of Jesus and his disciples. Archaeologists and scientists have used carbon dating and have surmised that this vessel that was found in 86 would have been a close approximation of the boat used by fishermen back in Jesus' day. They're not saying this was the exact boat, but I've been to the museum where this boat is on display, and I've seen it with my own eyes. And if you're interested in learning more about it, you can find pictures by Googling Jesus boat. They say a typical fishing vessel back then was about 4.5 feet high, about 7.5 feet wide, about a foot more on either side of me, and about 27 feet long, about from here to the pew where Elizabeth and Sally are sitting. Experts figure that a boat of that size could hold 4 rowers plus a helmsman and up to 15 additional people. And we complain about the airlines. So let's just pretend we're all in this boat that's just 7.5 feet wide and 27 feet long. Let's pretend that we're all together in this boat. And for the sake of argument, let's say that we're in the boat with the disciples that are with Jesus, even though there's other boats with us. Let's assume that we've left the crowds behind and we were setting sail to the other side, but we haven't quite gotten there yet. Let's assume we're all sitting in this boat together and it's evening. The sun has set and it's getting darker and darker. Only the stars in the sky and the light of the moon would provide enough light to navigate by. But in a storm of this magnitude, surely even the stars and the moon were diminished. So let's all imagine how we're wide awake and Jesus is off sleeping on a cushion in the stern of the boat. It shouldn't be too hard for us to imagine that Jesus has had a really long day and that he's exhausted. Surely those of us here can understand that he's completely worn out. He's so tuckered out, he's hankered down. He's found a place to curl up, shut his eyes, and rest his weary bones. Now, we have to pause here just to remember that, as Mark tells it, this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're only 4 chapters in. Ever since Jesus saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, ever since he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, a voice declaring to him, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased." Ever since Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, ever since Jesus passed by the Sea of Galilee and called out to the fishermen Simon and Andrew and the brothers James and John, extending an invitation to them, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." Ever since Jesus entered the synagogues and began to teach, ever since he began curing their sick and casting out demons, ever since he started teaching in parables and explaining those parables privately to his disciples, it seems as though Jesus has not had a moment's rest. So I suppose on the one hand, it's no wonder he's fast asleep in the boat. But they haven't yet made it safely across to the other side. And their boat is being battered by raging waters to the point his disciples think that they're about to perish, to drown, to die. And so I'm left wondering, who then is this? Who then is this that even storms don't shake his inmost calm? Not who is this then that even the wind and sea obey him? Rather, who then is this that even the dark storms of life and death that envelop him, even when raging storms threaten to engulf him, even when a cross looms in the not too distant future for him? Who then is this who can sleep so darn peaceably, so utterly peacefully? For me, that's the more intriguing question. I want to know who this Jesus is. Don't you? Don't you wonder? Don't you want that as well? We'd like that kind of serenity for ourselves and for those nearest and dearest to us. Isn't that what we strive for through our lives? Peace of body, peace of mind, peace of heart, the peace that surpasses all human understanding? Is not peace among one of our deepest human desires for the human heart? Like the old saying goes, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. As in, N-O Jesus. No Jesus, N-O, no peace. K-N-O-W, Jesus. No Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace. I want to know what Jesus knew. Or better still, I want to know who Jesus knew. For surely Jesus must have known that God would provide, that God would protect, that God was right there in the boat with him. That nothing in all of creation would ever be able to separate him from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing could separate him from that voice that declared to him, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And I want, as your pastor, for you to know and trust that same truth. There is nothing in all of creation, not one single thing, that will ever be able to separate you or any of us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. We too are beloved children of the God who stills storms that rage in and around us, the all-powerful, almighty God of heaven and earth, sky and sea. I want that inner calm for you, for me, for us. The kind of calm that comes through peace, through faith. The kind of peace that comes when one realizes that even as the storms rage around us, even when we feel as though we're dying and we're tempted to say, doesn't God care about me? Even when we're tempted and find ourselves enveloped in darkness or experiencing our own dark night of the soul, I want you to know you can cling to the rock who is Jesus, the Christ, the one who is Lord of heaven and earth, sky and sea, you and me. I want you to know and to trust that you can cling to that rock and know, K-N-O-W, know peace, because we know Jesus. And he is our strength and our salvation. I want you to remember that you are never alone in the boat. That we're all in this storm together. And most importantly, that Jesus is right here with us. And that he will never leave us, nor forsake us, not ever. I want our voices to join and sing out with hearts of faith, no storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, for Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. How can we keep from singing? Let it be so. Amen. Thank you. With the whole church on earth, let us profess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, the world, and all people according to their need. Holy God, you gather your people from near and far so that we may be one body in Christ. We pray for the mission of the church throughout the world, that your steadfast and unconditional love may be known to all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, you laid the foundation of the earth, and you spread the waters over creation. The morning stars sing your name, and all creation shouts for joy. We praise you for your blessed creation, that it may continue to flourish and magnify your glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, you keep watch over all nations. We pray for countries experiencing violence, hunger, and unrest. And as we repent of the sin that marks our nation's history and celebrate Juneteenth, instill in us the passion to continue the work of peace and justice for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comforting God, you are close to the brokenhearted and near to those in distress. Calm the storms that rage around us and make your presence known to all in need. Especially this day, we lift up before you Lou Berg, Nicole Christie, Alona Johnson, Joy Lathrop, Sean Wagner, Kristen Ware, Shirley Watson, and those we hold in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal God, you promised the gift of salvation, and so we give you thanks for the faithful lives of all of our loved ones who now find their rest in you. Bring comfort and healing to all who mourn. Especially this day, we remember the family and friends of Ed Anderson, Arnie Albertson, Sally Bethel, and Kathy Lee. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. it is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God given freely to us, the people of God. Today I invite you to come to the altar rail and kneel, receiving the bread in the form of a wafer, and then the cup to drink from. The outer ring has red wine and the inner white grape juice. Those of you who are worshiping with us from home, I'd like you to take the bread now. This is the body of Christ. Take and eat. This is the blood of Christ. Take and drink. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.